You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032, extension 203. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Grace Ann Smith, Dominic Anaya, Tony Longshanks, and Jenna Yokoyama. The producer is Kanan Schlesinger. Special thanks to Tanya Gomez-Daza and Free Speech Radio News. Our engineer is Sequoia Wright. KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on K220HR. I'm Kanan Schlesinger.
And I'm Jenny Yokoyama. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7 a.m., it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, Paul Roland welcomes a delegation of activist Lumads, indigenous people from the island of Mindanao in the Philippines who are on a U.S. tour to talk about their situation and struggles. At 9 on Political Perspectives, host Per Fangarang interviews journalist and author Jeremy Scahill about his new book, The Assassination Complex, Inside the Government's Secret Drone Warfare Program. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And at 11 on The Dirtbag, host Glenn Andreessen discusses the single most important thing you can do as a gardener: make and use compost. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support and our spring membership drive. You helped us get very close to our goal, so thank you very, very much. Have a good night, Kanan.
Night, Jenna.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Yesterday, the Mississippi ACLU filed suit against the state of Mississippi in order to block the recently passed state bill HB 1523. The Mississippi State Legislature passed the bill this spring, which allows individuals and organizations to discriminate against the LGBTQ community on the basis of, quote, sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction. The plaintiffs in the case are the Mississippi ACLU members Nicholas Alford and Stephen Thomas, an engaged and soon-to-be-married gay couple that are subject to a state-sanctioned discrimination from community members in their home state. KBOO reporter Kanan Schlesinger spoke with former Mississippi Supreme Court Justice Oliver Diaz, who was representing the plaintiffs in this legal proceeding.
Yes. Hi, my name is Oliver Diaz. I'm an attorney in Jackson, Mississippi, and I'm representing the ACLU and plaintiffs in a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of Mississippi House Bill 1523, which is the bill which authorized for discrimination against gays, lesbians, and transgender folks in Mississippi.
What is HB 1523, and what's problematic about it?
Yeah, it was a bill passed by the legislature, the Mississippi legislature, this year, and scheduled to go into effect July 1st of this year. The bill actually provides for a discriminatory scheme for same-sex couples. It allows clerks in various counties throughout the state to opt out of issuing marriage license to same-sex couples. The problem with that is that there is no such program or scheme if it's related to for different sex marriage. They're basically creating a separate and unequal system for same-sex marriages in the state.
And explain why this is unconstitutional.
Well, last summer, I think most people are familiar with the Obergefell decision by the United States Supreme Court, which legalized gay marriage throughout the United States. In that opinion, the United States Supreme Court said that the states, various states around the country, cannot treat same-sex couples, same-sex marriage couples, any differently than they treat any other couples applying for a marriage license. House Bill 1523 in Mississippi does exactly that. It sets up a system for treating same-sex marriages differently in a discriminatory way from different sex couples. And that's why it's unconstitutional. You know, Mississippi has a history of discrimination and bigotry and tried to set up a separate and equal system of education in the 1950s and 1960s. That didn't go well. We learned fairly quickly that you can't set up separate systems and then call them equal. That's what they're trying to do with same-sex couples. They're trying to set up a separate system for same-sex couples, and that's just unconstitutional. It's not right.
So to you, does the passage of this bill represent the views of Governor Phil Bryant or perhaps those of other folks on the state legislature in Mississippi? Or where do you think this is emanating from?
Well, I think it's coming from a very conservative group of legislators who think that they can enact legislation like this. And we're here to show them that they can't, that people of the state of Mississippi are not going to stand for it. You know, most people in Mississippi are not in favor of discrimination. We're not a people that want to discriminate, even though there is a subset of the population that may want to do that. The majority of the state is appalled by discrimination. And we're standing up and letting everybody know that this is not going to happen in our state. And we're going to stand up against it.
I kind of want to launch off of that and ask you to talk about what life is like in Mississippi. I think there's this conception that it's just a state full of bigoted human beings and that it's very inhospitable to people in marginalized communities such as that of the LGBT community. Can you talk about what life is actually like in Mississippi?
Well, you know, that in and of itself is one of the major flaws or major problems with passing legislation like this is that people get the idea that Mississippi would be an inhospitable state, a terrible place to be, when in reality that's not the case. The plaintiffs, the clients that I represent in this matter, a beautiful young African-American couple that are born and raised in Mississippi. They're both 26 years old. They are excited about getting married. They're excited about living in Mississippi, and they don't want to leave Mississippi. Their families are here. They've made a life here, and it's not a place that is inhospitable to them. They said that their families have been very welcoming to them. Their community has been welcoming to them. It's just the actions of certain conservative lawmakers who are tone deaf to things like this. Mississippi's not unlike any other state. I mean, I travel extensively throughout the United States, and there's no difference here than anywhere else, other than you do have a group of legislators who are allowed to run amok. One of the problems is the Mississippi legislature, there's not a check on the system. There's a super majority of Republicans, and they don't have a lot of debate on their legislation. If there was a true two-party system debating legislation, you wouldn't see things like this getting enacted.
Can you talk about the plaintiffs in the case, Nicholas Alford and Stephen Thomas? You mentioned them just a second ago, but who are they and what brought them to be in the position of filing this lawsuit?
You know, that's one of the great honors of being an attorney and being able to represent folks like Stephen and Nicholas. They're just great, great young guys, both 26 years old. They're both African-Americans. They were born and raised in Mississippi. Their families are here. They're getting their educations here. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand what it takes to be a plaintiff in a lawsuit. It takes a great amount of bravery. These are really strong young men that are willing to step forward. They know that they're going to be subject to scorn and ridicule. It's just the nature of taking a public position anytime in the United States. And they're willing to do that because I actually talked to them about this. They said that they feel so blessed to have a strong, supportive family and the community that supports them, that they are willing to come forward and take this stand so that others who are less fortunate, who may not have a strong family supporting them, that couldn't take these positions, they're willing to stand up and do that. So these are very brave young individuals, and it's just a tremendous honor to be able to represent somebody like that.
So this bill was passed this spring, and it takes effect in the beginning of July. One question that I think a lot of people are wondering about is, how far is the state-sanctioned discrimination against the LGBTQ community liable to extend to? Like, is it going to affect things beyond marriage, which the Supreme Court case dealt with, or is it going to bleed into housing and business?
Yeah, well, one of the problems that we do have in the state is that sexual preference is not a protected class in Mississippi. And so regardless of this legislation, regardless of House Bill 1523, it's basically still legal to discriminate against lesbians and gays, transgender folks in Mississippi. The United States Constitution and the United States Supreme Court provide protections for certain classes of people. You cannot discriminate based upon race, religion, gender, skin color. Those are all protected classes, but sexual preference is not a protected class. And so regardless of Section 1523, a person can be fired in Mississippi for being gay. They can be denied service for being gay or lesbian. It's a horrible situation and one that we are working to correct. But that's the current state of the law in Mississippi and many other states, actually. We're not unique in that, unfortunately.
How quickly can an injunction against this legislation be implemented? It seems like there's a little bit of a sense of urgency since it takes effect this summer.
Yeah, what we did in this case is file for a preliminary injunction. And that's a special legal tool that lawyers have and that is available to file in a court of law. And basically what we are doing is asking the court and asking a judge to step in and block the enactment of this legislation so that it does never go into effect. And so because we're asking for this sort of extraordinary type relief, the court system will move a little more quickly than most people are accustomed to. We will have a hearing in a very short period of time. We will know prior to July 1st whether or not the law will be allowed to go into effect or whether it will be held in abeyance. And so, you know, we're pressing for that, and we will have a hearing before then.
How likely do you think the plaintiffs are to succeed here? It seems like the environment, the political environment in Mississippi state institutions is pretty conservative, as you've described.
Yeah, it could be, but we are in federal court, and so we're not in state court. So we've got federal judges looking at this, and if necessary, we could appeal it in the federal appellate system to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and then if need be, to the United States Supreme Court. So it's not only within Mississippi that the folks are making this decision.
All right. And so lastly, I kind of just wanted to ask you to connect the dots here between this House Bill 1523 and other things that are going on. I mean, in the news alongside this lawsuit are the lawsuits that are happening both ways in North Carolina between the state and the federal government. What seems to be going on here, and how do you think these two cases in North Carolina and Mississippi are related?
Well, I think what you're seeing is pushback from the Supreme Court decision of last summer, which legalized same-sex marriages in the United States. I think you've gotten some very conservative forces that are reactionary in nature, and they're pushing back. It's sort of a last gasp attempt to fight back against the United States Supreme Court. It's not going to be successful. It's not going to be successful in North Carolina. It's not going to be successful in Mississippi. We're not unique in North Carolina and Mississippi. This legislation was proposed and passed through the legislature in Georgia. The governor refused to sign it there. Tennessee has seen it, or Arkansas. It's spreading across the United States. I think it's just a desperate attempt by some right-wing forces that are just really angry and lashing out in the only way that they know how. It's not going to be successful. The federal courts are going to strike down discriminatory legislation anytime it's presented. Unfortunately, it's just a process that we have to go through.
All right. Well, thank you so much for setting aside the time. I really appreciate you taking the time to give us the lowdown on what's really going on in Mississippi. It can seem like a faraway place here in the Northwest, so it's very much appreciated.
Well, I understand. My wife and her family is from the Northwest. They're in the Seattle area, so we spend a great deal of time out there. And I'm always happy to make a visit in the Northwest.
Well, thank you again. I've been speaking with Oliver Diaz, a Mississippi attorney representing the plaintiffs in the case against the Mississippi government, House Bill 1523. Thanks so much again. All right. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
I'm Kanan Schlesinger with KBOO News.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Preference Radio coming up next.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, We're From Here,